Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture. When I looked up the flight, when that door flew off, these people were dead silent. Everyone's just quiet. I don't think I could contain it. I think that's free reign to wail on your call button in that situation. Bung, 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 bung. Hey, I don't want to be a pest. Was there a door when I got up? Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All righty, rocking and rolling. Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a Super Bowl champion. He's a Pro Bowl linebacker. Played most of his career with the Seattle Seahawks and then had it end up with the Las Vegas Raiders. And that, of course, is KJ Wright from the KJ Wright All Day Show, who's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. I see you jamming out, KJ Tower rejoin music. Sure. What's going on?
Doing well, Zach, man. Back in my hometown of Olive Branch, Mississippi. Always a pleasure to hop on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So where are things at right now with the former great Seahawks defensive players and Russell Wilson? Because I saw that you guys had that event for Coach Carroll when he basically got fired as the head coach of the team, even though they're moving his position, however they want to word it. And it seemed like getting everyone in the same room has created a little momentum of restoring this friendship. Is that fair to say?
Let's just say time heals all wounds. Let's just say that. It was so unfortunate during our time in Seattle that we compared. Who's the best? Is it the defense that's doing it? Is it Marshawn? Is it Russell Wilson? Like, who gets the credit? And I truly believe that just got in our way of having the dynasty that we had. A lot of egos, all those alpha personalities. But you saw when Russell Wilson spoke on Brandon Marshall's podcast, he saw Sherm. Sherm smiled at him. They was out there talking, hugging, and kissing. And so it's really cool to see. As we progress throughout our careers, as we progress into adulthood, let's just let bygones be bygones. We did some great stuff in Seattle, and it's definitely going to be legendary and unforgettable. And so I like where we're at.
The decision to not hand the football to Marshawn Lynch is what ruined you guys as a team, and we've been through this before. You could never fracture what happened after that. But do you at all ever regret like how if you didn't let ego get in the way, you guys were such a special team and such a good team, what it could have continued to have been?
I'm telling you, we should have three Super Bowls. We should have three to four Super Bowls. If you just make the right decision, you just hand the ball off. And when you didn't do that, a lot of fingers got pointed. It's your fault. It's your fault. You should have did this. You should have did that. And when I said last time, we had like a dark gray cloud hovering over us for about 5 to 6 years. And it didn't quite leave until guys started leaving the building. And so hard lesson to learn. If anybody's ever in that position again in their careers, if they're coaching or being a GM, make sure you run the dang football and life will be good.
KJ Wright here with us. What was your impressions? I know you wanted DQ, Dan Quinn to be the next head coach. That's not the way that it did go down with him winding up with the Commanders. What about Mike McDonald with the Seahawks? Your initial reaction was what?
That's another good option. No, that's a great option that the Seattle Seahawks did. You got a guy that's young, a guy that's really creating a new trend with this dominating multiple defense that he has. And I had a chance to meet him last week. I stopped by the VMAC last week, got a chance to meet him, and I like his energy. I like his swag. I like his energy. I love this culture that he's trying to build. Obviously, what Pete Carroll did for 14 years, that's going to be obviously hard to match. So he wants to build on top of what Coach Carroll has already done. Keep everything vibrant. Keep everything fun. But bring in your own style, bring in your own personality. And I'm telling you, Zach, he has this serious demeanor to him, which the Seattle Seahawks need. They need that guy that's going to be disciplined, that guy's going to be straight to the point, that guy's going to hold people accountable. And so I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table. He's built a phenomenal staff on defense, on offense. And so I believe the sky's the limit, because when we face the Niners twice a year and we got the Rams twice a year, they've been kicking our tails for the past 3-4 years. Let's really switch stuff up, get a defensive-minded guy in there that can really slow those offenses down.
Talking to KJ Wright right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, the future of Russell Wilson. We all know eventually he'll inevitably get released by the Denver Broncos, and he could sign on somewhere cheap. What do you think the best option is for a landing spot for Russ for this upcoming season?
He has got to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have got to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is bizarre to me, Zach, what Mike Tomlin has done with, to be respectful, tier three, tier four quarterbacks, right? It's been phenomenal that you get 10 wins with those quarterbacks, 9 wins. Get you someone that's been to multiple Pro Bowls, been to Super Bowls, has an All-Pro under his belt, and really get this thing going over there in Pittsburgh. This team is perfectly built for him. Najee Harris, you got the running game. You got Jaylen Warren, Pickens, dominating defense. Get you a quarterback that can find a way to get you guys over the hump. And so it's unfortunate that his time in Denver went like that 2 years in a row. Just it was a decline. It was a really steep decline that we saw with Russell and with all Sean Payton and Nathaniel Hackett. So get back on track. It'll obviously be a contract-friendly type of deal. Life would be good for Russell Wilson. I'm really excited to see where he ends up.
Yeah, what do you think he can continue to be, though, as a quarterback? Because the last 2 years, I know he played fine this year, but I just don't know if he could be a great quarterback again. Like, is the ceiling for Russ moving forward just potentially being a good quarterback again in the NFL?
Russ can give you 10-plus wins. I'll say that. Russell Wilson can give you 10-plus wins. Russell Wilson can get you in the playoffs. With a Joe Burrow, going to be tough. With a Lamar Jackson winning the division, like, it's obviously going to be tough. But he can get you in a position to compete. He can have you in a position to be in the playoffs. He can give teams a run for the money when it comes to winning the division. And so I love what he brings to the table. You saw Zach when he started using his legs, when he started running. Do that. Get outside the pocket. Bomb that football downfield. And his offensive coordinator has got to find a way to maximize his skill set. Maximize Russell Wilson's talent at age 35, I believe. And so I know he can still play some big-time ball. You see that he has this chip on his shoulder. He has a little bit of adversity, and that's good for all ball players. When you get benched, when you get cut, it really channels that inner dog in you to, like, I want to get back on track. I want to prove to the whole world who I can be. And so I think this is good for Russell. This next destination, I think, is going to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I also think Russ needs to focus more just getting back to football. I think Russ got into the whole brand and, okay, you're an icon and all the off-the-field stuff. I truly don't believe, I said this before you came on, KJ Wright, I don't think playing at his best was number one on the priority list the last few years.
I think that's fair to say. That's fair to say. You see the endorsements. You see, obviously, married Sierra, who's a superstar in her own right. And so get back to the basics. Eliminate the distractions. Put the colognes away. Put all the stuff away. What's the brand? The Good Man brand. I love all this stuff. Russell Wilson is a businessman. I'm telling you, dial in to the details, focus up, narrow in. I believe this moment, when teams tell you you're not good enough, when teams tell you we're going to sit you on the bench, that stings, that hurts. And that's why I know he's going to be laser focused, dial into the details. And I'm telling you, Zach, if anybody can bounce back, Russell Wilson's a guy that can do that.
Talking to KJ Wright. Make sure you check out the KJ Wright Show on Seattle's ESPN, 7:10 a.m. Also, make sure you check out KJ All Day with his podcast. How do you think Russ could be, though, in the locker room? Because it did feel like in year one he had a tough time relating to the locker room, and he isolated himself for the locker room. And even though it felt like the relationships with the players were proved in Denver this past year, it wasn't necessarily the case with him and Sean Payton being able to get on the same page.
Listen to me closely. I'm seeing a new Russ. We're seeing a new Russ right before our eyes. He's letting his hair down. He's speaking up. He's defending himself. You saw what he said about Marshawn Lynch when he defended himself with on Brandon Marshall's show? I'm like, I don't know what that guy's talking about. He probably had a little too much Hennessy. Perfect. That's genius. Like, go. Defend yourself. Talk your stuff. Talk your mess. That is what I love to see from Russell. And so you're talking about being authentic, being true to himself, saying how you truly feel versus saying what you think sounds right. That's what your guys want. That's what your teammates want to hear. They want someone they can connect with, someone they can relate with. And I believe that I'm seeing in the last, ever since he's gotten benched, ever since he started speaking up for himself, we're really seeing a new Russell Wilson. So I can't wait to see him migrate into a new locker room because they're going to love him.
I also wonder why Sean took the job. I know he got paid a fortune, Sean Payton, that is. But why would you leave the Saints when you didn't have a quarterback at the end and that's why you retired? And then you take a job where you didn't love the quarterback at first, like how they went about this and how early they tried to change the contract. It just showed that Sean never really wanted to try to make this work or salvage this with Russell Wilson.
No, horrendous leadership. Horrendous leadership from the owner, from the GM, from the head coach. It was just bad. It's just a bad dynamic since day one. You knew what you were getting. You saw him the year before. You saw the contract that he had, right? You saw all of these things. And before you took the job, you should have been like, no, this is not the right situation or the scenario for me. But instead, you chose to go in your press conference and tell your starting quarterback, stop kissing babies.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about your image. You come to a player in the middle of the season, Zach, in the middle of the season saying, adjust your contract or I'm benching you. You handle business before the season start and you handle business after the season. You don't handle that kind of business right in the middle of the season when you're trying to focus on your opponents. And so just horrendous leadership from the top all the way down. And so best of luck to Sean Payton going forward with whoever he chooses to be a starting quarterback.
And you know this, if a team offers you money, even if you don't like necessarily the culture, they're willing to pay you something, you're going to go sign there if it's the most guaranteed money. I wonder how many guys, though, are going to get kind of turned off by Denver just seeing what happened to Russ this past year.
We talk as players. If I'm about to go to a team, I'm making a phone call. Hey, bro, how was your experience with the Las Vegas Raiders? Hey, bro, how was your experience with the Commanders? We talk all the time. How's this coach? How's that coach? And so it is a real brotherhood. It is a real fraternity. If it comes down to $10 million here, $8 million there, for my happiness, I'll take a little bit less to be in the right situation. I promise you, I'll take a little bit less to be in the right situation, the right scenario, because you don't want to play for some guy that you don't feel cares about your well-being, someone that talks to you any kind of way. I promise you guys, we want to make the right decisions for our happiness first.
Let's just say Russ and the Steelers can't find a way to get something done. What else? Who else jumps out to you? Is it the Raiders? Is it Atlanta? Is it maybe Minnesota if they move on from Kirk Cousins? Who's the next team if it's not Pittsburgh?
Well, Atlanta Falcons clearly need a quarterback. I personally think that's Justin Fields' destination. Justin Fields and the Atlanta Falcons makes all the sense in the world. They need a quarterback. I can't even think of their quarterback now. Who's the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback?
Desmond Ridder or was that Taylor Ham Heineke as well? Both of those guys ain't it.
Exactly. And so Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, go to the Atlanta Falcons. That is my next destination. Bijan Robinson is going to be a superstar in this league. He's going to be a superstar. Kyle Pitts, we haven't figured him out. He has all the physical traits. He just needs a quarterback to bring him alive. And obviously, Drake London is going to be a stud as well. So this offense is ready. This offense is prepared to really make some noise and take over that division. Get them a real quarterback in the building. The sky's the limit for those guys.
Now, I would have said maybe there was a chance of this happening if Pete was still the coach. But we are past right now the potential reunion of Russ going back to Seattle, correct?
No, the owner's still there. The GM's still there. Equipment manager, no. It's not happening in Seattle. No, that ship has long sailed.
Yeah,
he's going to be in the Ring of Honor, but he won't play there.
So let me use your defensive mind here for a second. We're all trying to figure out how to slow down the Chiefs. You played on a great defense. That LOB, let's say, was going up against Mahomes. How would you guys approach him?
First, we would have started inside out. We would have started inside out. And when I say inside, we would have focused all on number 87. Defensive lineman, when he's right there, number three, you chip him, you hit him, you get him off his track. When we go man-to-man, KJ, you play outside. Cam Chancellor, you play inside and over the top. You cannot let him take over a game. You cannot let those guys just pitch and catch and have a field day. And so we would have started there. But with our pass rush, Zach, with our pass rush, guys, cage rush Patrick Mahomes. Cage rush him. By that, I mean don't let him step up in those B gaps, but let him step up in those A gaps like we saw in the Super Bowl to where he was able to win the ball game. So you got to be disciplined with this guy, because when he takes off running, he could run, throw it, or he can just simply run it and pick up the first down. And so it starts right there in the middle. It starts up front, staying disciplined with these guys. Hey, Valdez Scantley, okay, whatever. Mecole Hardman, whatever. Sherman, Maxwell, you handle those guys. Right here in the heart of this defense is how you got to slow those guys down to give yourself a chance.
And you guys know it too. The offense has to help him out too, because San Francisco in that first half, they should have been up by a whole lot more. And when you leave someone like Mahomes or Brady in a game and they're in striking distance, I don't care how great your defense is, eventually they're going to find a way to get that game tied up.
And then that comes back to the whole conversation, game manager or game changer. And you need a quarterback to manage the game. You need a quarterback to do the little things right, to pick up this first down here or there. But when it's nut-cutting time, when it's time to hoist the Lombardi trophy, I need a game changer on this 4th-and-1. I need to put the ball in your hands, and you're going to find a way to execute and lead us to the promised land. And so when Cam Newton was saying all of that stuff, I was like, bro, you need to have game manager type of personality, need a game manager type of traits. But obviously, when it's really time to get it done, to really execute, you need that game changer person on your football team.
And you know what's crazy? You look back at that Super Bowl. I don't think Brock Purdy played great, but he wasn't horrible. Like, he gave a good performance. It was amazing how many of the playmakers didn't show up. I know Debo was dealing with something. Kittle basically did nothing. Ayuk, they didn't target him enough. And as great as McCaffrey is, I love McCaffrey, fumbled the football on the first drive of the game. That's what was stunning to me about the Niners, was how we all talked about the quarterback, but really the pieces around him did nothing in the big game.
Let's not forget about the play caller either.
Yeah.
Once again, Shanahan, you're up.
Choked up a lead. You didn't run it.
You choked up. You choked. It got a little tight for him. The moment got too big once again for Kyle Shanahan. And so when he's talking about being in those situations, doing the little things right, hey, let's actually run the football in this situation. Let's not call a timeout when our defensive coordinator is in his zone and trying to make a – he blew it once again. And so he has to take a deep look in the mirror and say, hey, I didn't quite maximize the talent I have on this roster. Obviously, the guys need to show up more, but he definitely was another piece of that puzzle that didn't show up when they needed them the most.
All right, last thing that I'll ask you before I let you go back to enjoying home, as KJ Wright is here with us. How far away are the Seahawks? Made the playoffs a year ago, missed it this past year. We look inside that division. We know the Niners aren't going anywhere. The Rams are only going to be better. The Cardinals are going to continue to roll with Kyler Murray. How far is Seattle from getting back to potentially being a championship contender again?
3 years.
So are they going through a rebuild now, you're saying?
No, they're going to win 8-9 games.
Okay.
They're going to be competitive. When you're talking about winning your division, we're talking about getting that first round bye. When you're talking about making a deep playoff run, you got 3 years. They have a lot of good pieces.
They do.
A lot of good pieces. But get your franchise guy who's going to be your franchise quarterback. Keep adding pieces on that secondary. Keep adding pieces at linebacker. Both Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner are free agents. So they got a lot of decisions to make. But find who's going to be your quarterback. Let McDonald continue to build out this roster, implement this culture. And I believe in Coach Carroll's fourth year, if I'm not mistaken, that's when he came in there. He changed everything around, made the most transactions in NFL history, like over 100. He built the team that he wanted to build. And in 3 or 4 years, Coach Carroll got his Super Bowl. So I'm saying they're going to strike gold once again with McDonald.
He is KJ Wright, of course, the former linebacker for the Las Vegas Raiders and most remembered with his playing days with the Seattle Seahawks. Make sure you check out his podcast, KJ All Day Podcast, and also the KJ Wright Show on Seattle's ESPN 710 AM. Enjoy home. Always appreciate you jumping on board with us, KJ.
I will. Thank you, Zach.
You got it. There he is, KJ Wright, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I loved it. I said it from the day where Russell Wilson and the Broncos, you practically knew, were done, I threw out two destinations. One was Pittsburgh and one was Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta would be a bad destination. I don't think it's going to be the number one target for them. I think Atlanta's either going to trade up in the draft or they're going to go bring in Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields. I think there's enough options there where before you get to your last option that's still serviceable, and Russ could still be serviceable, where Russ won't wind up in Atlanta. But you look at the Steelers, I don't think they'll end up doing it, but they should. Kenny Pickett's not the answer. Mason Rudolph's probably going to go somewhere else in free agency. And here's the thing, what you need to understand with Russ. He's not great anymore. He still showed this year, though, he could be solid. He could be good. And you got to remember, it's going to come on an insanely cheap one-year deal. Like, I'm talking about nothing, because he just got a brand-new extension. Didn't even get to the extension. And now Denver's going to move off from him. And I can guarantee you this, Russ will be better than Kenny Pickett. Russ will be better than Mason Rudolph next year. And look what those guys just did this year, making the seventh spot in the wild card and the last wild card spot with the seventh seed, with not having a lot of good quarterback play. I think for a year or two, a stopgap move until you find your next guy, Russ would be a good one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll give you my top five NBA storylines for the rest of the season, coming on back.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall.
We decided a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture.
Maestro is an Oscar-nominated movie Bradley Cooper's in, and I'm sure it's a perfect quality, well-done movie, but it looks a little boring. Honestly, I fell asleep during the billboard.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm in a little bit of a weird situation right now. I need to trust Stu, and if I can't trust Stu, then I have to trust Samter. And the reason I say that is because I went to go exit the studio at about 4:30 p.m. Eastern, and there's a big metal handle on the door that's bolted into the wall, and I gently went to go open the door, and the handle fell off. Now, the top part was the part that got dislodged, and the bottom part was still there. So you could open up the door, but the handle felt like it was going to fall off. Well, engineering during the KJ Wright interview was working on the door, and I don't know if they're trying to send me a message or not, but they took the handle off the door. And this is a huge door, and there's nothing for me to hold on to open the door right now. So they have trapped me in this studio. So I just need to set a reminder here, and maybe Stu and Samter can set an alarm on their phone. When the show ends at 5:55 p.m. Eastern time today, so in a little over than half an hour, one of you knuckleheads better open up the door for me and push the door open, or else I'm trapped here until the great Amy Lawrence tries to come do a radio program tonight. And that's the other thing. Amy tonight is going to be trapped in here. Well, at least James Boccioni will be here. But this is now a problem. Like, can you imagine if someone, I don't know, maybe Shep tonight. Let's not tell Shep. Shep just innocently comes walking into the studio, do like a little meeting with Bart. And there's not a lot of people here as you get later and later into the day and into the evening. Imagine Shep comes in here before the show starts and he goes to do like a promotional video or he goes to record something he was going to post online and then the door shuts and he doesn't realize what happens with the door handle. Because I have a thought that engineering is going to be able to fix this quickly. But in case that they don't, I would actually think it's funny if they actually don't fix the handle and see if anyone gets trapped in here in the next 24 hours. But at least you guys, you got to do me a solid, and you at least have to try to get me on out of here at the end of the show.
We don't have to do anything.
Well, that wouldn't be nice.
Listen, I love you, Zach, but I'm a radio producer. I'm a producer of a show.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility is to the on-air product, not to you. What would be better radio, you getting stuck in the studio or you getting out and just going home and going about your business?
Well, the show ends at 6. It would
be
a good social media thing.
We have cameras and microphones everywhere. We can record whatever the heck we want.
Yeah, that's a good point. All righty. If I am stuck in a dark alley, the last person I'm calling, this is what I learned, is Michael Samter. Now, Stu, I don't think I'd be calling on you to help me fight, but I do think Stu would at least, out of the kindness of his heart, the sweet Stuart Kovacs would at least do the easy thing of just opening the door there.
You would think that, but I'm kind of with Mike. And I think I would like to see the idea.
You're
like,
a jackass as well.
For social media.
You would think that.
And now Ak just joined me and the door just closed because you could only get in. You can't get out. So now Ak, with Samter, Ak is now banging on the door. He's already had enough of me. Ak is as red as a lobster right now. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know, we just added more drama to the mix. Zach and Ak stuck in the studio.
Yeah.
Zach and Ak at 9. I love it.
Yeah. So, Ak, there is a chance here because Samter and Stu both just said that they think it'd be funny on air content if they just didn't open the door for me at the end and I had to like live stream everything. Now you're stuck on this island with me.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. I got the short straw.
We could you know what? I was going to say.
Ouch. Right.
I could say that we could have ordered some Uber Eats, some Peter Luger's, but no one would probably go downstairs to go
this
get the
true.
Food for us.
It would be good because they could open the door if they can get up.
Yeah. Well, this would be one way to have some radio bonding.
Yeah, not bad.
Zach and Ack just sitting in the studio.
So I didn't realize when I last left the studio, you had just pulled the door, the handle off the top part. I didn't see now there's no handle at all.
So they came in and they detached the bottom part as they're in the process of replacing the door handle.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
Except I didn't realize that when I let the door close behind.
You're stuck with me, Ack.
It's like an episode of Happy Days when they got stuck in the vault at Cunningham Hardware. Potsy closed the door.
Listen, I loved Happy Days back in the day, but a Happy Days reference, I can't relate. It's been so long since I've seen that show.
YouTube,
I don't even remember any of that.
Do you remember that show? Who was it? Who Wants to Be? Was it a Millionaire or Billionaire? I think it was Millionaire, right?
Millionaire, yeah. Who Wants to Be a Billionaire would be a much more enjoyable show.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have the funding for that show. But I feel like if I was ever on that show, if they ever brought it back, if I needed to call the friend option, I think I would call Ack.
I was once a potential call the friend option. And let me tell you, I was plenty nervous. Like, they do a whole thing. You have to stand by. They're like, they tell you, we're going to be shooting from, like, 3 to 4. And you have to be by the phone. And I'm here. I was at work.
Well, Regis Philbin, right?
Yeah.
He was the one that hosted that show.
Yes.
And that was, like, one of your good friends.
But my brother's friend went on the show.
Okay.
And if it was a sports question, he asked if I could be his go-to guy.
Yeah, because you're like an almanac.
And I said, you know, I kind of really hedged. I didn't want to do it, but
you thought you would get nervous? Is that what it was?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of pressure on you. But
here's the thing: he's calling you for help.
Yeah, but you know, you want to be right. But it was really intense. I ultimately agreed to do it. Thankfully, they didn't need me.
Oh, you didn't get called?
No, they. You have to be on the phone with them the whole time. In case
they need to go to you.
Yes, and you have to sit there, and I'm like, I may have to go do an update. but you're sitting there.
Update anchor cost guy $1 million because he was doing his job,
and they're like, he's in the chair right now. They're taking you through it. It was a really intense thing, and I remember being very nervous about it. I was so relieved when he was done and he didn't need the sports. You know, there wasn't a sports question,
though. Yeah, but I can't believe that you just found the way to work a reference here.
Thank you.
Impromptu about a door that you didn't even know was fully shut, and we'd be stuck here until someone would open up the door for us.
Yeah, Happy Days, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire reference. You got everything. Who needs Samter?
I will say this. My claim to fame when it comes to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is when I lived in London back in 2001.
You lived in London?
Yeah, I lived in London
for a little while. Were you studying abroad?
Yeah, I was studying abroad.
Okay, so you were studying abroad. You weren't living in London.
I mean, I lived in London for 6 months.
No, but when you say you live in London, you think that, like, you moved there and you started work there. You were studying abroad.
It was Ted Lasso.
I was studying and working in London for 6 months. I mean, I guess that doesn't count as living. And I was working for a soccer club. That's how I got so into soccer.
Don't be a wanker. Continue.
When I was there, there was a guy on the British Who Wants to Be a Millionaire who got to the $1 million question.
They stole that from us?
No, we stole from them.
Oh, we did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Blame Regis. Regis took it away from them. And the guy got to the $1 million question, and I knew the answer to the $1 million question without even seeing the results because I knew the question. It was an American history question, which in England is probably more difficult than
us. Wait, time out. I'm lost here. So how did you?
I mean, I was just watching it on TV.
Oh, you were watching the show.
On TV. He got to the $1 million question.
I think you called in or something to offer this guy help.
No, I would have loved to. I'm sitting there, I'm like, phone me. I know the answer. But obviously, I've never met the guy, and he didn't phone me. So
I'm not intelligent enough to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, even if they still did it here in America. I don't think they do the show anymore.
Uh-huh.
I know, it's 100% true. I know sports. When you get into other things, no, not me. C's get degrees. That was my philosophy when I was at Temple University. I'm sure they love me saying that now in a national radio program. The show I always wanted to be on, though, was Cash Cab. Cash Cab, when you get into the cab and the lights go off, they ask you all these like multiple choice questions. I thought Cash Cab would be very fun. Wheel of Fortune would also be good, and The Price is Right. I think I'd be elite. Not just good. Like, I'm talking Joe Flacco elite. At the Price is Right. That was just a show that I always enjoyed as a kid. And also, I think we'd be good as a show at the time the Jerry Springer show. I think we would have been good on that show, just yelling, hooting, hollering, going nuts.
That's not a game show.
No, I know that's not a game show. I know that didn't belong with the others, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, Jerry Springer. My Uncle Freddie always loved watching the Jerry Springer show. He would wake up in the morning and watch the Jerry Springer show. It was always very interesting.
Would we do one of those like paternity tests? You know, well, find out, like, you know, maybe you or I have sons running around and little kids in different states.
As I told you a few weeks ago, I don't have any kids that I know of.
Zach Gelb, you are not the father.
That would be very good. All righty. We'll take a timeout. I think the train just got off the train track.
Or the handle got off the door.
Yes. I don't even – how the heck are we going to get out of here?
Well, we're going to have to rely on either Stu, Samter.
No, but here's the problem.
Ryan?
I don't feel good about this because if it was just me, I think someone would let me out. But you are like the prankster around the office here, and you play a lot of pranks on Stu, Samter, and Hickey. This is how I know I'm just
That's
screwed. I need Stu, Samter, or Hickey to help me out, and I'm dealing with Ack, who's to my left, who plays pranks on those guys all the time.
I haven't done anything to Ryan yet. I've kind of...
Oh, Bodger's there. That's a good point. You can barely see him.
He's training today. If you want to get the job, you better open the door.
Yeah. Ack has a lot of clout here. Ack will also make sure that you pay your union dues instantly the minute you get the job as well. All righty. We'll come on back. My top five NBA storylines for the rest of the season. We return update time first. I was about to get up after I toss it over to him, but I can't get out of the studio until Samter or Stu be a kind civilian. So let's hope they're that. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. David in Framingham says, Zach, what's the biggest NBA storyline the rest of this season? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'll give you my top five biggest storylines. I'll go from five to one. In at number five is the Nuggets repeating. The Nuggets beat the Warriors the other day by 16 points. Not that the Warriors are a good team this year, but I think a lot of people, it's weird to say people are sleeping on the Nuggets because they're a game and a half out of the top spot of the Western Conference. They just won a championship. But I was on the Nuggets train before anybody, and I said as long as Jamal Murray could stay healthy, this is a team that could absolutely win a championship. I think last night was just a reminder of what the Nuggets can be. You have the Joker go for a triple-double, where he had 16 assists, 16 rebounds, and 30-something points. Jamal Murray adds in 27. And you see that duo. It's the best duo in the NBA right now. And we're now in an era of dynamic duos. And not only that, Nikola Jokic is kind of Patrick Mahomes-esque. And what I mean by that is you could think a team is vulnerable or you could think someone can be stopped. But right now, Nikola Jokic is the best magician that the NBA has, where everyone could give you an idea of how to stop him, but no one can actually stop him. And as long as Jamal Murray is healthy, I don't think the Nuggets are going down in the postseason. I believe they're going to repeat as NBA champions. So number five, it's can the Nuggets repeat? Number four, will the Clippers or the Suns come out of the Western Conference? I look at the Suns as it's a team you won't really see what they're capable of until the postseason. And the Clippers, the last 2 years, haven't been poor in the postseason, but they've just been injured. So it's going to come down to health. Number three, how are we talking about LeBron and Steph Curry at the end of the year? The Lakers, underwhelming. The Warriors, underwhelming. So, in all likelihood, unless there's some crazy run by one of these two players or one of these two teams, the topic is going to be, how could we fix the Lakers? How could we fix the Golden State Warriors? And we all know LeBron James is going to opt out, and there's been some speculation that maybe he'll team up with Steph in the Bay Area, or he'll just stay with the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm just curious how we're talking about LeBron and Steph at the end of the year and what changes it will still spark to try to maximize the championship window that each still does have. Number two, will the Bucks rebound? Right now, the Bucks are in a negative state, where they are the team that going into the year, everyone tabbed as the team. And even when their record was fine, there were problems on that team. It led to the firing of their coach. And now there's a lot of negativity because of some of the playoff misfortunes of the past surrounding Doc Rivers. And a lot of people don't believe Doc Rivers should be a coach anymore in the NBA. It's rocky right now. It is bumpy right now. There's a lot of turbulence. Still, though, you go into the playoffs with Giannis Antetokounmpo and you have Damian Lillard and also closer Chris Middleton and a group that won a championship not that long ago, and you still are looking for Damian Lillard to go get his first championship, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks rebound, but there's been a lot of negativity directed their way. And then at number one, to answer David in Framingham's question, what's the biggest storyline? I think it's actually the Boston Celtics. They have been great this year on the court. They improved this offseason, getting Kristaps Porzingis, getting Jrue Holiday. They have a better team this year than the last few years. They're by far and away the best team right now in the NBA. That doesn't mean you're going to win a championship, because I still think the Nuggets are the team to beat. And I wouldn't mind if we see a Boston-Denver championship, or a Milwaukee Bucks-Denver championship would be fun too, with the two best players in the league in Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic. But for the Boston Celtics, they've been there the last few years. They have been to an NBA Finals. They've been in numerous conference finals as well, and they keep on coming up short. This year, it's open. Like earlier, I compared Nikola Jokic to Patrick Mahomes. The Celtics are kind of like the Ravens. That's what I would say, where they've been there, or the Buffalo Bills. They've been there, but they haven't got over the hump. You know, at least for the Celtics case, they've been to the NBA Finals before with this group, but now it's about winning a championship. And this year, you don't have that many strong teams, so you should be able to bare minimum get to the finals, and then we'll see if you could end up winning a championship. And a big thank you to our engineers, by the way. Oh, that was a magnificent job. They were like a NASCAR pit crew. They came in here while I was on the air. They fixed the door handle. And now I still have 6 or 7 minutes before we get off air, so I don't have to rely on Stu or Samter. So the joke's on you two. Here's what I learned about you two guys. If you guys are ever in a tough situation, not team players, not willing to help out, you know, your boy, Zach Gelb, you guys are going to leave me stranded here in the studio when I pulled off that door handle ever and I was trapped in here. Engineering comes in. They saved the day. They were an elite radio show pit crew, and they fixed that door handle in, what, less than 40, 45 minutes? And now I don't have to rely on you two Scrooges to try to get me on out of here. So good on engineering. I know they got my back. Samter, Stu, I don't know if you guys have my back anymore.
Just for the record, I'm only not having your back in situations that are beneficial for the show.
Oh.
If we're like in a dark alley and some guy comes at you, I'm there at your defense. Now, granted, I probably bring my phone out and I film it so that we can maybe use it as content for social or on the show.
Maybe, or a litigious situation, too. We get some more money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'll probably whip the phone out, record the situation, but I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
In situations like if we're at a restaurant or a bar, you forget your credit card, I'll pay the bill, right? If we're in a situation where we're stuck somewhere, I'll help you out. I'll be there for you.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't negatively impact the quality of the show or the social media content that we can provide.
So talking about social media content, I'll get to this LeBron James Bronny stuff tomorrow. LeBron's basically saying, let Bronny be Bronny. Stop projecting about his future. Well, as much as, you know, here's the problem with LeBron. I like LeBron, and I think LeBron is an incredible father. But LeBron's perception of the way that he gets covered or people close to him get covered is so out of whack. The only reason why people are obsessing about Bronny's future is because you told everyone that you envision of ending your career playing with your son. So that's why a lot of people talk about this, and that's why people obsess over it. So I don't want to end the show this way. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But I noticed something when I was out on Thursday and Friday, and I parachuted in and was in the YouTube chat for a very, very small amount of time. Like on Thursday, all my friends' flights got delayed. I was in the Airbnb by myself, so I popped on the show for about 20, 25 minutes. Friday, I popped on the show for about 5 to 10 minutes. How many people got annoyed with posting a photo from the bachelor party of a shopping cart with all the food items in the shopping cart on Thursday night? I was mystified, Samter, by that response. And I heard that you were leading the charge when I wasn't here to basically stab me in the back.
Yeah, I was leading that charge. Are you
kidding
me?
You're now 2 strikes. One more strike, you're gone.
Well, listen, actually, Bart started the charge. And then social media, like
that ungrateful mother bleeper, Bart Winkler.
Andrew Perloff was in on the action.
I saved his radio career. You know, I let him fill in for me, and it led to him getting the national job after he got laid off, and he's stabbing me in the back? Is that what you're telling me?
I wouldn't say he was stabbing you in the back. He was more just kind of nudging you very gently into the ditch.
Friendly
maybe.
Fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just kind of giving you a little nudge into a ditch.
And what was being said? Because I didn't hear this part.
I mean, your shopping cart was full of like Reese's peanut butter cups and Doritos and I don't know, Oreo double stuffed cookies. And basically, it just looked like you were shopping for like a 12-year-old's birthday party or Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not a bachelor party where like bad things get done. So first of all, it was the content.
Hold on.
Okay.
Now real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ton of beer in the bottom of the shopping cart. There was a ton of seltzers as well in the shopping cart as well. There are two types of bachelor parties. There is a heavily drinking bachelor party, and then there is a Bob Marley kind of bachelor party. Let's just say the groom was closer to Bob Marley than, you know, the elite beer drinker. And that's why there was a lot of snacks, if you catch my drift.
Okay, that
those were elite snacks.
That definitely helps your case. But here was the other part of the conversation. This is the part that I brought up.
Yeah, and real quickly, everyone macho manning. Oh, I would have such a better spread. In the grocery, in the shopping cart. Give me a break. I love Guy Adami, but Guy Adami started all this because he quote tweeted saying, what is this for a 12-year-old's birthday party?
Yep.
Like, come on, guy. I know how to have fun. I don't know if Guy Adami knows how to have fun.
That's basically what everyone was saying.
Yeah, bunch of losers.
The content of your cart, I'll give you
no at least fun losers.
I'll give you a mini pass for the content of your cart based off of your explanation. Those are definitely munchy type meals.
Yeah.
So I guess I can understand that. However, I have a rule.
No ganja time for Guy Adami, I can tell you that.
Apparently not, especially not in Orlando, Florida. I have a rule, though. Whatever happens in a bachelor party stays in a bachelor party. Under no circumstance does any picture or video, even the cool stuff, like if you go on a tour of Disneyland, no pictures, nothing. Because here's the thing. Now that you had that cart picture out there, now you have to defend yourself, and now we know what was going on Barbari-wise. Now, you
Twitter
might not,
pays me. That's good engagement.
You
people
might
engage.
Not,
I get
but
money.
But maybe a wife of one of the guys there, or one of the guys might find out his girlfriend or a parent or his job now finds out what's going on at that party.
No.
You just never post any pictures from a bachelor party, even the good ones.
Nothing was bad. All I posted was a photo of me golfing, a photo at dinner, and then a photo of things that we may have enjoyed and called performance-enhancing substances after certain activities did partake.
The first rule of bachelor parties is there is no bachelor parties.
All righty. Samta, the czar of bachelor parties, also the czar of not helping me out if I'm ever in trouble. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Have a good night. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture. When I looked up the flight, when that door flew off, these people were dead silent. Everyone just quiet. I don't think I could contain it. I think that's free reign to wail on your call button in that situation. Bung, 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 bung. Hey, I don't want to be a pest. Was there a door when I got up? Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.